The following news flash is brought to you by the Lone Star Lowdown, providing your daily bulletins for the commodities market. Today in history, news updates, and the inside scoop into the tides of the alternative. Markets for Friday, the 22nd of January, 2016, are currently trading with gold at $1,097.53 an ounce, silver $14.02 an ounce, Texas crude $29.53 a barrel, and Bitcoin is currently sitting at about 380 U.S. currency. Today in history, Monday, January 22nd, 1506, the first contingent of 150 soldiers entered the city of Rome, marking the Swiss Guard's foundation as the Pontifical Swiss Guard. In recent news, Dwayne Walling, former mayor of Detroit, who in April of 2014 before local news raised a glass of water as he pushed the button connecting Flint River to the city of Flint's water treatment plant, setting into motion one of the worst lead contaminations of a municipal water system in U.S. history, said that he was deeply sorry for all the problems with Flint's water and that he regrets he didn't somehow find out more about what was really happening. The contaminant? High levels of lead, one of the most dangerous neurotoxins for infants, which leached from the miles of underground piping which negligence at city, state, and federal levels failed to detect or even incorporate emergency protocols for as required under federal law. This at first turned the water brown, giving it a chlorine odor. As Flint residents began to complain about the color, smell, and taste of their water, state officials were dismissive, according to emails released this week by Rick Snyder's office, Republican governor of Michigan. Even while many residents were complaining of rashes, the contamination wasn't reported to the public for roughly 18 months. EPA Region 5 Administrator Susan Hedman resigned on Thursday, and Governor Rick Snyder, who appointed Scott Kincaid as emergency manager, who was responsible for approving the project, apologized for the crisis and is seeking $28 million in state funds as a down payment for fixing it. The plan was targeted towards saving millions of dollars for Flint residents by using the river instead of buying water from Detroit, at least until the new pipeline to Lake Huron could be built. After reviewing feedback from students and faculty over the past few months, the Wesleyan Private University Board of Trustees decided today that concealed handguns would not be allowed on the Texas Wesleyan University campus. President Frederick G. Slabach said in a brief statement that the feedback received from the members of the campus community was overwhelmingly in favor of remaining a gun-free campus. The Lone Star Lowdown is currently looking to fill some ad space. If you ever apply for a service you'd like to advertise with us, feel free to give us a call at 210-363-2257. This has been your Lowdown for January 22nd, 2016.
Hi, welcome back. You're with Truth News Radio. Okay, today, in the second hour, we are going to look at Andrew Wakefield, the vaccine controversy, the autism controversy. I'm going to provide you some background information because there's so much to this. There is, and it's so complicated. And if you don't understand some of the details, you will likely be influenced by mainstream media disinformation, which is very clever and sophisticated and twisted and sick, right? But it's real. And if you don't know the facts, you will not be able to mentally challenge it. And this is particularly important whenever you get into some kind of debate on this subject, because people will continually throw at you these furphies that have been created in the mainstream media, some of which are just most monstrous lies. And unless you've done a bit of research to verify what's true and what's not, you can come off looking like you lost the argument simply because you didn't know how to refute what someone said. Now, of course, last week the film Vaxxed was scheduled to be held at the Tribeca Film Festival, to be presented by Robert De Niro, who has a child with autism, who, so we're told, thinks it's a very good film. Now, De Niro was under a lot of attack when he announced that the film was going to be shown, but he persisted right up until about 2 days before the start of the festival, and then suddenly he pulled it. And of course, the blogosphere of the medical fascist pro-vaccine lobbyists went berserk over this, and of course, rejoiced when the film was removed. And now they're feeling incredibly powerful and that they've achieved what they wanted to achieve. And the average person is left just completely lost, completely confused, unable to figure out what's going on. But enough people will be influenced simply by the retraction of this film to think that there's something wrong or naughty or dirty about it. And then will be left to research that for themselves. And of course, most people don't have time. A lot of people can't be bothered. So even though the film will get shown and those who know, those who are interested will still be able to get all this information, reaching a wider public, it's going to be more limited again because of this. Now, the film was directed by Andrew Wakefield, and the film was produced by a man by the name of Del Bigtree, and I've got an interview that was done where he discusses that, and it's a really great interview, and he gets into his views on it and why he thinks it's so important and why he produced the film, and a great glowing praise for Andrew Wakefield in it. But of course, every time this is covered, every time you read a mainstream media article about this, Andrew Wakefield will be prefaced by the word disgraced, and you will see the words fraud over and over again, and you will see the words convicted, and all these terrible guilt-laden terms will be used to describe Andrew Wakefield. And people, these journalists will just simply say, he was proven a fraud, And it just seems like so matter of fact that you'd hardly believe that they could be making that up. And what I've come to realize is that most of these journalists aren't making it up. They just have never researched it properly. They're just completely unprofessional, completely incompetent, delinquent, recalcitrant. There's a few other adjectives. But they are terrible, terrible people. As Donald Trump said, they are disgusting people, right? Reckless in their lack of interest in truth and facts. So, negligent is another word which springs to mind. And a lot of what these journalists do, of course, we know they're only minions, we know they're puppets, but what they do is criminal, really, in the truest sense of the word. I mean, I don't think they should be thrown into prison, because I don't think that'll achieve anything, but they really do need to be publicly shamed, publicly exposed, and they need to lose all their privileges. So let's get into it. Andrew Wakefield, this is what I want to focus on, because this is the backstory. Andrew Wakefield was a medical researcher who, up until he wrote the infamous article about MMR and vaccines, was a gastroenterologist. And he'd already published several papers showing a connection between measles and bowel complaints. So he'd already drawn a connection between the measles virus and intestinal disorders. And he was approached by someone who wanted him to look into the connection between the MMR vaccine, which is the measles, mumps, rubella vaccine, and gastroenteritis, which was also tied with autism or autistic spectrum behaviours in a bunch of kids. And the families of these children had got together and was and actually had legal representation. And they all attested to the fact that their kids became very, very ill and developed these autistic signs after having received the vaccines. And so Andrew Wakefield, someone who looked into gastroenteritis and measles virus, thought, well, this could be an interesting connection, because here these people had the MMR vaccine shortly before coming down with terrible gastroenteritis symptoms. And this is how it all began. Now, there are a lot of great interviews on YouTube where Andrew Wakefield talks about this, and I will actually play to you some clips from Andrew Wakefield talking. There's one in particular where he talks about the controversy and the accusations of fraud against him, which I think is the most important. But in everything I've gleaned and everything that Andrew Wakefield has said, it became clear that as soon as he started on this line of research, he started to get warning signs that he shouldn't go there. And some of it was very blunt, because some of it was just like people within the institution he was working, the Royal Free Hospital, were basically saying to him, look, we can't be questioning vaccines, because if we start to question vaccines, it'll undermine the whole, you know, the whole industry of immunization, the whole program of healthcare. And they saw that as a negative thing. But of course, Andrew Wakefield is a scientist. He's a doctor, but he's also a scientist. And he needs to research. He wants to go there. He wants to find out. And he did find out a lot of stuff. And he, with his co-author, John Walker Smith, they discovered and verified so much of what these parents had said and verified that so much of it was true. And when the paper was finally published, even though it didn't specifically say there was a link, it said that there was a possibility of a link and that this needs more research. And, you know, it dovetailed with a lot of anecdotal experiences of many parents around the world. And that's why it had such an effect, is because people already knew that there was a problem here. So many parents had seen their children regress after having a shot. And here was some research which was published in The Lancet, which didn't fully confirm it, but didn't completely rule it out either. So that's how it all began. Now, what we know is that the pharmaceutical industry has deep connections with both government and media, and particularly the Murdoch Empire, particularly the publications of the Murdoch Empire, like the Sunday Times. And it was the Sunday Times, and it was a Channel 4 documentary which began the attacks against Andrew Wakefield. And it was all led initially by one man by the name of Brian Deer. And this guy, right, this guy is not a scientist, he's not a doctor, he has no medical qualifications whatsoever. He's a journalist, right? But believe it or not, this guy, Brian Deer, put in a complaint against Andrew Wakefield to the General Medical Council. A journalist filing a complaint against a doctor. I mean, how could that even happen? How could that even be taken seriously? But it was. And largely as a result of this first piece that was done, this Sunday Times piece, and I'll just bring that up for you right now. Okay, I'm reading to you here from Wikipedia for brevity. The Sunday Times, in February 2004, reported that some of the parents of the 12 children in the Lancet study were recruited via a UK lawyer preparing a lawsuit against MMR manufacturers, and that the Royal Free Hospital had received £55,000 from the UK's Legal Aid Board to pay for the research. Previously, the board had cut off public funding for the litigation against MMR manufacturers. Following an investigation of the Sunday Times allegations by the General Medical Council, Wakefield was charged with serious professional misconduct, including dishonesty. Now, bear in mind, this Wikipedia article is incredibly badly written, incredibly biased, and neglects massive amounts of information. And I don't have all the bits of information to bring together right now, but it says here that the Sunday Times reported that in addition to the money they gave the Royal Free Hospital, the lawyers responsible for the MMR lawsuit had paid Wakefield personally more than £400,000, which he had not previously disclosed. Now, my understanding is that that money also was not money that he took personally. It's not like he put it into his private bank account. That is not what happened. But we are going to break, and I will continue this when we come back from the break. You're with Truth News Radio Australia.
They took our guns!
Then get them back and support the Logos Radio Network at the same time. The following sponsors have stepped up to help keep this network on air with a fundraising contest. Thanks to Central Texas Gunworks with the first prize, the Spike Skull Lower Receiver. Second prize, the Taurus Curve Handgun. Every $25 donation gets a chance to win. Enter as often as you like. Check out CentralTexasGunworks.com. Thanks also to MyMagicMud.com. The first 40 people to donate $25 get a jar of My Magic Mud, valued at $25. Thanks also to All About Vapor at 4631 Airport Boulevard. The 10 third place winners will get a $25 gift card. Stop smelling like a butt at allaboutvapor.com. Also, thanks to Eddie Craig. Folks who buy the Rule of Law Traffic Seminar get 10 entries into the contest. Check out the contest rules and details at logosradionetwork.com. Terrorist status or hipsters may not actually be eligible to win.
NonGMOSolutions.com is now a proud sponsor of the Logos Radio Network with promo code LOGOS. We thank you for the opportunity to be your source for New Manna Foods, the leader in high-quality food that you will truly enjoy. You'll find gluten-free options, and all products are free from high-fructose corn syrup, aspartame, soy, and MSG. Whether you're on a tight budget, looking for options to reduce food cost without compromising health, or securing long-term 25-year storable food for an uncertain future, then non-GMOsolutions.com is your common sense answer. Take advantage of a 10% discount with promo code LOGOS. No longer will you compromise taste and quality for full-term shelf life or eat poor quality food due to cost. Check out our flex pay options and design a no-contract plan to satisfy your needs. Go to non-GMOsolutions.com today and get 10% off with promo code LOGOS. That's non-GMOsolutions.com with promo code LOGOS.
Men and women of Earth, may I have your attention? This is Herewood Fenton, host of Truth News Radio Australia. You're invited to join the info war as we work to restore truth in media and challenge the dark forces which now dominate mainstream news. I'm calling on you, valued listener, to use your hard-earned dollars to help us smash the globalist empire. Visit truthnews.com.au and subscribe today. Hi, welcome back. You're with Truth News. Discussing Andrew Wakefield today, and I'm just trying to provide some background information about the scandal over the General Medical Council inquiry and allegations of fraud, allegations of misappropriation of money, various things like that, that provide the background for the ongoing ruthless journalistic attacks on the character of Dr. Andrew Wakefield. And I was just, before the break there, reading from the Wikipedia article where it talks about the initial piece that was in the Sunday Times, which was written by Brian Deer, where it said that he received £400,000. And I've got here a video. I can't play the video for you, but I've got some transcript of it. And this is Andrew Wakefield actually responding to these allegations. And a member of the audience asked Dr. Wakefield about the £400,000, which was revealed by Brian Deer as if it were just money that he'd pocketed. Now, Wakefield states that all of the money was donated to an initiative to build a wing at the Royal Free for the care and investigation of bowel disease. Now, also, it states here that that money was paid over a 9-year period. So that's spread out. That's not that much money each year. Bear in mind, he's a specialist, a highly qualified person who would routinely make, if he's operating at the height of his power and ability within the industry, he would be pulling in several hundred thousand a year. There would be no problem with that. And this is, I think, very important to understand. I mean, we're talking here about a medical specialist. Now, the claim that Brian Deer made that he was doing this for profit, it just doesn't add up. It really doesn't make any sense because, you know, if Dr. Wakefield had wanted to make a lot of money, this was not the way to do it. You know, the people who go down the path of following Big Pharma and taking their handouts and saying what Big Pharma wants them to say, doing research which has got the tick, you know, that's how you make your money. And you make massive amounts of it. That's why I'm saying, you know, he could have been making vastly more than that. 400,000 over a 9-year period, that's not that much. You know, that's not much more than like 40,000 a year. You know, and that's extra fees on top of his salary. But look, your average specialist is probably doing better than that if they're playing the game. Everything that Andrew Wakefield did not seem to correlate with him being on a self-aggrandizing, narcissistic career path. Because so much of what he did led to his being ostracized from the very people who would have guaranteed that he would make a lot of money. So, let's just return to the narrative. And I'm just returning to the Wikipedia article here. One of the nice things about Wikipedia, even though it is full of disinformation, it does just provide a framework for looking at a narrative. And you just have to remember with Wikipedia that there are omissions that are very, very significant. And there are often statements in there, for example, the one about the £400,000, which have a lot more to it. And they haven't put that in the Wikipedia article, the fact that that Andrew Wakefield says that was donated. Maybe Andrew Wakefield's lying. But either case, this has never been discussed. And Brian Deer's accusations simply went untested. There was a lawsuit, but unfortunately, there was a defamation suit, but unfortunately, Andrew Wakefield was forced to withdraw the lawsuit because of a very complicated scenario, which I may be able to explain to you if we have time. So what happened? These allegations, these terrible allegations, were made in the Sunday Times, and the General Medical Council launched an inquiry. And as a result of the furore over this, a number of the people involved in the study wrote a big retraction of any connection between vaccine and autism. Remember, behind the scenes, there had already been a lot of pressure. There had already been people leaning on anyone who was involved in this study to distance themselves from it. So a lot of people abandoned ship at this point. But Andrew Wakefield did not. He did not agree to changing his position or signing retractions or viewpoints or anything like that. And the next phase in the attack against him was through television on Channel 4, and this was led by reporter Brian Deer. And more allegations were raised about conflicts of interest, particularly about a patent that Andrew Wakefield had applied for, which had been based on some of his research, but it was a patent for a new vaccine. Now, of course, this is not uncommon in medical research, where people, medical researchers, create patents. It's normal, and it's one of the main ways that people in this industry actually make money. But Brian Deer was operating to an agenda to smear, and he raised this as a way of alluding to a conflict of interest. Now, at this point, Andrew Wakefield filed a libel lawsuit against the Channel 4. And this became quite complicated because in the end, he was forced to not proceed with the libel claim, because there was a concurrent GMC investigation going, and he wanted to have a stay of proceedings until that was resolved, but the judge acted against him. Now, he may have received bad legal advice here. I don't know exactly how it all unfolded in detail, and unfortunately, the Wikipedia article here is so badly written, and it is so biased that it is difficult for me to use this actually to give you any valid information. Other than what I can say is that a libel suit was raised and then retracted. Meanwhile, the GMC hearings took place and findings were made against him, which ended up in him losing his medical license. Now, the specific charges against him are as follows. He was being paid to conduct the study by solicitors representing parents, so there's a conflict of interest issue there. He ordered investigations without the requisite pediatric qualifications, including colonoscopies, colon biopsies, and lumbar punctures, without the approval of the ethics board, and contrary to the children's clinical interests. He acted dishonestly and irresponsibly in failing to disclose how patients were recruited for the study. He conducted the study on a basis not approved by the hospital's ethics committee. He purchased blood samples for £5 each from children present at his son's birthday party. He showed callous disregard for any distress or pain the children might suffer. Now, all these charges against him were raised by Brian Deer initially in those smears against him. And some of the facts in it are true, but it paints this man as if he's some sort of monster, some sort of narcissistic egomaniac just trying to build his career and just, you know, mutilating children to get to where he wants to be. And the truth is so far opposite from that, ladies and gentlemen, because he was regarded as a hero by every single parent of all these children. Regarded and still regards him as a hero for what he did, for championing their cause, for taking huge risks, and in the end sacrificing his career to help them. That's the fact. That's the truth. We're going to break. It's a really interesting story.
Fish fishing is a wonderful pastime. It's a terrific way to bond with family and get in touch with nature. But there's a scary kind of fishing you'll want nothing to do with. I'm Dr. Catherine Albrecht, and I'll tell you more in just a moment.
Privacy is under attack. When you give up data about yourself, you'll never get it back again. And once your privacy is gone, you'll find your freedoms will start to vanish too. So protect your rights, say no to surveillance, and keep your information to yourself. Privacy, it's worth hanging on to. This public service announcement is brought to you by StartPage.com, the private search engine alternative to Google, Yahoo, and Bing. Start over with StartPage.
Fishing, spelled with a PH, isn't very sporting. The goal is to reel in personal information and compromise your account. The PH in phishing stands for phony. Phishing scams involve impersonating legitimate organizations like banks, and the bait is usually a phony email. A phishing email may ask for account information or provide a link to an official-looking website, but don't fall for it. Never email your bank account number, your user ID, or passwords. Legitimate companies won't ask you to. And it's best to enter a website address directly rather than clicking on an email link to check an account or make a purchase. Accidentally typing data into a phishing website could cost you thousands. I'm Dr. Catherine Albrecht. More news and information at CatherineAlbrecht.com.
HempUSA.org has moved and expanded its operations for faster worldwide shipping. Our product line has grown from 5 to nearly 100 items in less than 5 years. Our food is grown naturally, always chemical-free, not found in stores. Great for daily intake and perfect for your emergency storage shelter. Call 908-691-2608 or visit HempUSA.org and see what our powder, seeds, and oil can do for you.
Rule of Law Radio is proud to offer the Rule of Law Traffic Seminar. In today's America, we live in an us-against-them society, and if we, the people, are ever going to have a free society, then we're going to have to stand and defend our own rights. Among those rights are the right to travel freely from place to place, the right to act in our own private capacity, and most importantly, the right to due process of law. Traffic courts afford us the least expensive opportunity to learn how to enforce and preserve our rights through due process. Former Sheriff's Deputy Eddie Craig, in conjunction with Rule of Law Radio, has put together the most comprehensive teaching tool available that will help you understand what due process is and how to hold courts to the rule of law. You can get your own copy of this invaluable material by going to ruleoflawradio.com and ordering your copy today. By ordering now, you'll receive a copy of Eddie's book, The Texas Transportation Code, The Law Versus the Lie, video and audio of the original 2009 seminar, hundreds of research documents, and other useful resource material. Learn how to fight for your rights with the help of this material from ruleoflawradio.com. Order your copy today, and together we can have the free society we all want and deserve.
Welcome back, you're with Truth News Radio, and I'm just talking about the backstory here of Andrew Wakefield, and just focusing on this this narrative of how he ended up being stripped of his medical license. It's really important to understand here, again, the tremendous power of the media, this organ of control that Edward Bernays said is the true ruling power in our world. It is actually done through the media. The media manipulates the thinking processes of the ordinary person. And it manipulates juries, judges, panels of experts. Because remember, all of this stuff, all of these accusations, all of these smears against Andrew Wakefield happened at the beginning of his downfall. And there was no check on that. You know, there was no limitation to what Brian Deer could do. Now, of course, we know that the Murdoch family has massive investments in the pharmaceutical industry. We know that there are massive conflicts of interest there. But somehow that never gets it never gets to the point where that actually becomes the focus of our attention, because they control the media. They are the media. So Andrew Wakefield perhaps made some procedural mistakes. Maybe he didn't get the full permissions. He asserts that he did. He asserts that he did go to the ethics committee and he did do everything right. But he may have been a little bit arrogant. You know, it's quite common. And people who are doing something very important and trying to save lives often do get a bit arrogant. They get a bit frustrated with all of the red tape and all the people trying to get in their way. And he may have simply jumped over a few hurdles. You know, he took blood samples at a birthday party. He obviously was not following the particular, you know, standards, the letter of the way things are normally done in medical research. It was an unusual situation. But notice in everything that's come up so far, and the findings that were made against him, there is no mention of fraud. There is nothing about fraud. The fraud allegations actually come after this. Believe it or not, it didn't end there. Brian Deer continued to come after Andrew Wakefield and wrote a series of articles which were published in the BMJ, the British Medical Journal, which go way beyond the findings against him of the GMC. I mean, these accusations are really, really nasty. And at this point, Andrew Wakefield had exhausted his legal options. He'd already left the UK. He'd already lost his medical license. He did try to file another defamation action from Texas, but I think there was a jurisdictional problem and he wasn't able to proceed with it. He was just thwarted every time he tried to deal with this through the legal process. Now, I'm going to play to you the specifics of his rebuttal of what Brian Deer said about him in regard to the fraud. The fraud allegations are quite complex. And I'll just read to you very briefly from the Wikipedia article here. In February 2009, the Sunday Times reported that a further investigation by the newspaper had revealed that Wakefield changed and misreported results in his research, creating the appearance of a possible link with autism. In April 2010, Deer expanded on laboratory aspects of his findings in a report in the BMJ, recounting how normal clinical histopathology results had been subjected to changes from normal to abnormal in the medical school and published in The Lancet. Deer provided two tables comparing the data on the 12 children, showing the initial hospital data and the data with the wholesale changes as used in the Lancet article. So he's basically accusing Wakefield of outright fraud. Now, interestingly enough, subsequent to this, only about a year later, the co-author of the paper, John Walker Smith, a very, very highly respected medical person until this, who had also lost his license. It wasn't just Wakefield, it was Wakefield and John Walker Smith both lost their license. Well, John Walker Smith appealed because his insurance covered it, and he won the appeal, which means all those findings of the GMC were completely revoked. And because he was the co-author of the paper, the same thing should have applied to Andrew Wakefield. But Wakefield had already left the UK. He'd already exhausted his legal options, and he couldn't get insurance coverage to file an appeal. So, unfortunately, even though his co-author was exonerated of all the charges, Wakefield was being and still unable to get redress for this. Meanwhile, Brian Deer continues on this campaign, smearing him. I mean, it's quite an incredible story. Now, I'm going to play to you the talk, one of the talks that Andrew Wakefield gave, where he specifically provides a rebuttal to the fraud allegations made by Brian Deer, because I think this is very important. It's one of those very important details that you need to understand when you get involved in this topic. Okay, this is a talk that was given in 2011 in Austin, Texas, where he specifically addresses these fraud allegations made by Brian Deer. Here we go.
The first thing I want to do is get right into the fraud issue, because usually at book signings I just come along and I read a chapter and talk about things, but recently I've been accused of frank fraud by Brian Deer, a journalist in the UK, and the British Medical Journal. And I feel that the best thing to do is just get that right out the way and talk about it. And it's a fascinating story. This is what he said, and in fact he said this on the Gary Null Show. Wakefield has now been branded by the British Medical Journal a fraudster. They described his work as an elaborate fraud. He also went through the results, manually altering test results in this paper and diagnosis and histories of the children so as to create the appearance that there was a link between MMR and autism. And the first thing, therefore, I want to talk about are the medical records. So here he is accusing me of going through the medical records and taking the information and changing it manually to include it in the paper. Now, just to set the scene for Brian Deer, who is something of an enigmatic character, the first time that he ever got involved in autism, he went to interview the mother, in fact, mother of the second child to be investigated in this paper. A very smart mother, a very articulate mother, who in fact was the first woman to phone me about her child on May the 17th, 1995. He got into her home, the home of this distraught mother with a badly damaged child, under a false name. He deliberately changed his name. He lied to her in order to deceive her. And in fact, he's quite proud of that. And that is just to set the scene of the person we're dealing with. Okay, this is what happens in the health service. The GP, the general practitioner, refers a patient to the expert, to the specialist. In this case, Professor John Walker Smith. Now, John Walker Smith is the world's founding father of the subject of pediatric gastroenterology. He's now retired. He's had an unimpeachable career, and he spent the whole of his life dedicated to the care of sick children. So he gets a letter from the general practitioner saying, "Dear Professor Walker Smith, would you please see this 5-year-old child with so on and so forth and advise?" Now, his letter is based upon his own records, the records that he holds in his office, and he distills those into a letter. We did not have access to those records in putting this paper together. What we had is his letter, and we also had something in the UK called the Red Book, and the Red Book is something that is given to every mother of a newborn child when they leave the hospital. And in there they fill in the immunizations, the growth, the height, the weight of the child, their development. And in England, a senior nurse visits the home of every child on a regular basis to assess their development. So what you have is a prospective developmental record of the child, every child. So you know if there is an aberration, if there is a problem with their development, because you've got this expert assessing it. So we had the Red Book.
We're just going to break. You're with Truth News Radio Australia. We've got one more segment coming up. And I'm talking today about Andrew Wakefield, providing some background information for you. We'll be right back.
Through advances in technology, our lives have greatly improved, except in the area of nutrition. People feed their pets better than they feed themselves, and it's time we changed all that. Our primary defense against aging and disease in this toxic environment is good nutrition. In a world where natural foods have been irradiated, adulterated, and mutilated, Youngevity can provide the nutrients you need. Logos Radio Network gets many requests to endorse all sorts of products, most of which we reject. We have come to trust Youngevity so much, we became a marketing distributor along with Alex Jones, Ben Fuchs, and many others. When you order from LogosRadioNetwork.com, your health will improve as you help support quality radio. As you realize the benefits of Youngevity, you may want to join us. As a distributor, you can experience improved health, help your friends and family, and increase your income. Order now.
Are you the plaintiff or defendant in a lawsuit? Win your case without an attorney with JurisDictionary, the affordable, easy-to-understand 4-CD course that will show you how in 24 hours, step by step. If you have a lawyer, know what your lawyer should be doing. If you don't have a lawyer, know what you should do for yourself. Thousands have won with our step-by-step course, and now you can too. JurisDictionary was created by a licensed attorney with 22 years of case-winning experience. Even if you're not in a lawsuit, you can learn what everyone should understand about the principles and practices that control our American courts. You'll receive our audio classroom, video seminar, tutorials, forms for civil cases, pro se tactics, and much more. Please visit ruleoflawradio.com and click on the banner or call toll-free 866-LAW-E.
Welcome back, you're with Truth News Radio, and I'm playing to you here a video clip of Andrew Wakefield providing a rebuttal to the smears of Andrew Wakefield. Very important to kind of hold this in your mind, because this is the substance which allows countless mainstream publications to say that that Andrew Wakefield was found to have committed fraud. But remember, he was only ever convicted, if you can use that term, by the General Medical Council of not following the Ethics Committee. He was not found to be guilty of fraud. Now, the Lancet did not withdraw his article on the grounds that it was fraudulent information. All the accusations against him which were upheld were in relation to what they call medical ethics. But later, his co-author was completely reinstated and completely exonerated. So even those charges against him really have no weight. And all that we're left with is the unsubstantiated allegations of Brian Deer, which found their way into the British Medical Journal. Now, you could still say, well, why did the British Medical Journal publish that? Well, indeed, why did the British Medical Journal publish articles written by a journalist about medical fraud? I mean, surely Brian Deer's qualifications did not qualify him to be able to make those judgments. And if you listen carefully to what Andrew Wakefield is saying here in this lecture, it is quite clear that the allegations made by Brian Deer are made deliberately, obviously with an intent to smear, but also derived from ignorance, a complete ignorant attitude, a complete lack of understanding, due to the fact that the man has no medical training whatsoever, a complete lack of understanding of the processes and procedures of the way this research works. But then the question is, how did those articles get into the BMJ? And that's a topic for another show. But I just want to continue here because you have to at least listen to Andrew Wakefield's rebuttal. And of course, we can't completely, implicitly believe everything Andrew Wakefield says either. But what he says holds together, it seems to make sense. And what he says here, to my knowledge, has not been refuted. So I just return you here to the video.
We also had the records from the hospital, so Professor Walker Smith's clinic records and what happened to that child in the hospital. And it was the distillation of the letter from the doctor and the red book and those records that went into the Lancet paper. And Brian Deer knew this. This is how the process works. But Brian Deer took the general practitioner records, which we did not have, and said that there were differences between what was written in those records and the Lancet paper, and therefore that was evidence of fraud. Let's just have a look at that in more detail. Let's take child one, the first child to be investigated. We said that the child's first behavioral problem started 1 week after MMR vaccine. That's what we were told by the mother. Brian Deer said that when he looked in the general practitioner's records, which he was able to obtain somehow, he saw that the child's mother had been concerned about his hearing 2 months before his MMR vaccine, and he said that that was the first sign of autism. Sometimes children with autism don't have hearing problems, but they sit there and you shout their name and they don't respond. And therefore the mother may be concerned that they have hearing problems. And so this is what he said was the first sign of autism. What we were told is that the first behavioral symptom started with delirium for 3 days, 1 week after the MMR vaccine. And that is what we put into the Lancet paper. Now, some years later, when the General Medical Council struck us off, we had access to the general practitioner's records for the first time. And when I got those records, I went through them. And what it said in those records is mother concerned about hearing, discharge from left ear. What do you think that meant? An ear infection.
Just going to pause it there. I just want to make this very clear to drive it home, that what Andrew Wakefield is saying here is that Brian Deer completely misrepresented this information and seized on a hearing issue which is known to be associated with autism to push the idea that the child already was autistic before having the vaccine. Now, if what Andrew Wakefield is saying here is true, what Brian Deer did, just in that one instance, is just unfathomably evil. I mean, it really sends chills down my spine when I think about this guy, Brian Deer, that someone could act in such an evil, wicked, deliberate way to, on the one hand, destroy the career of one man, but also to undermine the health and the quest for truth of millions of people around the world. It really, you've got to think about this. You've got to let this sink in. The depth of evil that we're faced with here of the people within media who perpetrate these kind of lies. Now, I can't tell you with 100% certainty This is what actually happened. I've looked into this as much as I can. I've studied it. I've tried to get all the information. But in the end, all you've got is what one person said and what another person said. And there is a lot of information out there to look at. But I just leave it with you that we have to come face to face with the fact that there are psychopaths out there who are, you know, they're not operating on the same moral compass as you and I, folks. It's a very, very difficult struggle that we have to do to deal with these kind of people. Anyway, I'll just return you to the video. We probably won't have time to get right through it, and we are almost at the end of the hour. So I'll just play to you as much as we can of the video, and that will be the end of our show for today. Here we go.
Absolutely. This child had an ear infection. The mother was concerned about his hearing because he had an ear infection. So Brian Deer took those records, he took the bit he wanted, he discarded the bit he didn't want, and that is fraud. That is fraud. Child two, the second child in the Lancet paper, he wrote, child two was diagnosed with regressive autism, which according to the Lancet paper started 2 weeks after his jab. However, the child's medical records, backed by numerous specialist assessments, said his problems began 3 to 5 months later. None of this is cited. None of this does he provide any reference for. The clinical records that we have, the child's psychiatrist at the Royal Free, Dr. Mark Borilovitz, wrote, started headbanging about 2 weeks after the MMR vaccine and hasn't looked right since. And in his discharge summary, had his MMR immunization, and 2 weeks following this, started headbanging behavior and screaming through the night. And these are characteristic features of autism, and that is what we reported. So what about the disease, the intestinal disease? Because what we did in this study, in this simple study, was to describe for the first time what appeared to be a novel inflammatory bowel disease in these children. Now, the parents had been going to the doctors saying, firstly, I'm worried about my child's development. They were absolutely fine. They had social skills. They were learning. They had words. They had language. And then they lost it after the vaccine. The doctor would say, no, they're just a boy. They're confused. They're just, you thought they were speaking, but they were just grunting and making noises. I had one where the child was saying helicopter. Helicopter is an extraordinarily complex word. A week after his MMR vaccine, he was saying copter. And a week after that, he was saying k. And a week after that, he said nothing, and he didn't speak again. So this is the kind of story that we heard. And the other thing is the parents would say, doctor, my child's having terrible diarrhea. He's banging his head. I'm sure he's in pain. There's something wrong with his tummy. The doctor would say, no, he's autistic. He's bound to have these problems. You see, that made absolutely no sense to us at all as gastroenterologists. See, these children were sick until proven otherwise. And what we discovered is they have a bowel disease. But Brian Deer didn't think so. Now, let me explain to you what happens. In the health service, any child, anybody who has a biopsy of any part of their body, that biopsy goes from the operating theatre down to the routine pathology laboratory. And there, it is looked at under the microscope by the duty pathologist of that week, the guy who is on the rota that week. Now, that person may have an interest in brain disease or breast cancer, but they're not in inflammatory bowel disease in children. So you're getting a general impression of what's going on. He writes a report, and that goes into the records. Now, Professor Walker Smith, throughout his career, has developed an unparalleled experience of bowel disease in children. So what he would do is meet on a weekly basis, and he did this for the entirety of his professional life. He would meet on a weekly basis with his team, and he would go through the biopsies in great detail. And he would bring his experience to bear on the diagnosis. And what he noted is that the pathologist, the routine pathologist, was missing disease in these children. And so, not content with his own diagnosis, Professor Walker Smith then went to the senior bowel pathologist in the hospital, Professor Dillon, and he asked him to blindly review the biopsies. What that means is that Dr. Dillon has all the biopsies in front of him. He does not know the diagnosis. He doesn't know the symptoms. He doesn't know the outcome. He knows nothing about the children. All he has are the biopsies, and he scores them on a standard scoring sheet. And this is the kind of scoring sheet that he scores them on. And this is research. This is something that I was involved in. Now, really, in a nutshell, what this shows is various degrees of inflammation: none, mild, moderate, severe, and a final score, 1, 2, 0, 1, 2, or 3, and then various features down that side of inflammation, acute inflammation. It doesn't worry about the details, but this is a systematic way of scoring the biopsies and doing it in a way that is reproducible. And it is the result of that process, that diligent process, that went into the Lancet paper.
And that's where we'll have to end it today, ladies and gentlemen. I'll provide a link to this video so you can check it out yourself. Truth News Radio Australia signing off. We'll be back next week. It's been great talking to you. See you then.
Would you like to make more definite progress in your walk with God? Bibles for America is offering a free study Bible and a set of free Christian books that can really help. The New Testament Recovery Version is one of the most comprehensive study Bibles available today. It's an accurate translation, and it contains thousands of footnotes that will help you to know God and to know the meaning of life. The free books are a three-volume set called Basic Elements of the Christian Life. Chapter by chapter, Basic Elements of the Christian Life clearly presents God's plan of salvation, growing in Christ, and how to build up the church. To order your free New Testament Recovery Version and Basic Elements of the Christian Life, call Bibles for America toll free at 888-551-0102. That's 888-551-0102. Or visit us online at bfa.org.
Looking for some truth? You found around it.
The fall.